Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's Blog Talk Radio. I'm going on spontaneously today on Friday, October 14th. And I called this one The Demise of an Earthly King. And it's going to be about King Saul and King David eventually, sort of mixed in there, and then going full-blown into King David. And so I hope that you can listen to these. You can download them anytime you want. That's the beauty of this. So if I go on spontaneously and I'm not really scheduled, you can still listen to it anytime you want. And so I took that from 1 Samuel 13:13, which says, Samuel, who of course was the prophet and the seer of the day, said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever." And it started originally where the Lord God was their king, and then they asked for a king. That started out the whole thing, and that did not make the Lord happy. And so I also want to always, of course, stop and say thank you to IHOP Kansas. Thank you for letting me use your music. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. I declare that you will have above and beyond what you could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill your part of his story. Oh, Jesus, thank you for blessing that most incredible, awesome ministry that is literally changing, speaking and activating people in all ages and generations. I'm so thankful and grateful for that ministry. It's really changed me listening to the worship and the teachings. It's just a beautiful ministry. They also want to declare Numbers 10:9, which says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then blow an alarm with the trumpets that you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from every single one of your enemies. And I'm, of course, going to play the recording of the shofar. Pray according to the Word of God. It's going to be different, a couple different scriptures that I've made into prayers. The first one is from Ephesians 1:17. Pray, Lord, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, Lord. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, Lord? And according to Ephesians 4:1-3, Lord, look through us so that we will walk worthy of the calling with which we are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And according to 2 Thessalonians 1:1-1, I also pray always for you that our God would count me worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Therefore, holy brethren, know this, that we are partakers of the heavenly calling, and we need to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I'm going to talk about, like I said, a couple earthly kings. And it all started out where Israel demanded that they should be like other countries and have a king. They have the God of the universe, but they wanted a physical king. And so Samuel the prophet was getting old, and he had appointed his sons to rule, but they were not like him. And the people were like, look, your kids, they are not like you. They're not honest. They pervert justice. And so we want to take things into our own hands. And so they decided they wanted to be like other nations and demanded that Samuel appoint a king to judge them. When Samuel prayed to the Lord told him, listen, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. And then when Samuel 8:8, he says, like all the deeds which they have done since the day I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, and that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. But you have today rejected your God, who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses. Yet you have said no, but set a king over us. And so they're warned of the consequences of, you know, how their sons and daughters would have to serve the king, and that, you know, he would demand 10% of certain things, and that they would their daughters would be perfumers, and their sons would be in the armies, and so on and so forth. And he kind of laid out there that, hey, you know, this guy, there's going to be a big cost to you guys, but they just refused to listen. And so God appointed an earthly king. And so in 1 Samuel 18:18 it says, then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. And like I said, nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, no king over us. We want to be like all the other nations, that our king will judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Well, the Lord did that. Oh, my, I can't even imagine. I mean, the Lord was their king, and they saw his works, and they wanted a mere man. Now, after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the Lord's hearing. And so we're going to go down into 1 Samuel 9. And we're going to talk a little bit about Saul, because it said he's a very handsome man. And Saul's dad lost some of his donkeys, and he sends out his son Saul to find them. And he can't find them, and so he wants to go see the seer or the prophet. So they always brought the prophet a gift. And so they were like, wow, we don't really, what are we going to bring the prophet? So in 1 Samuel 7:9, Saul says to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sacks, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have? And so the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have in my hand a fourth shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way. So God had already talked to Samuel about Saul, and in 1 Samuel 9:16 says, about this time tomorrow, I shall send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people. And so Samuel saw him, and he says to him, behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people. And so Samuel prophesies to Saul in 1 Samuel 10:1, and he says, took a flask of oil and poured it over his head, and said, has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? Afterward, you will come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. And, of course, we know that that is the spirit of prophecy. And when sometimes you can be in a group of prophets, and when you're with us, you can prophesy. And I've heard some people say, you know, when they took my prophetic class, that it was so easy to prophesy when you're, you know, in a group, and the anointing for prophecy is flowing because of, you know, of a prophet residing over. And then when they there, of course, some didn't really continue on, and they lost it. But they just said once they were not in that anointing, they didn't. It was hard for them to keep going. And so here shows where they Saul came into the midst of a prophetic anointing, and so he prophesied, and that happened more than once with him. And so all right, we're going to keep going. It says in the next verse, well, it says in that verse that he would be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal. Now, I want you to remember this, because this is something that really changed what happened to him as a king because of his disobedience. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. Then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. And so he did. He met the prophets there. So when they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. And it came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, what has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? So Saul had a great victory over the Ammonites. And the key to that victory is that the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily. And when he heard the people crying, he became very angry. And he basically, this is in 1 Samuel 11, verse 6, he basically told the people, you all need to come out and fight, with the threat basically that what he did is he cut up an oxen and sent it all over, quite the visual, and said, hey, if you don't come out and help in this fight, that your oxen are going to be cut in pieces like the oxen that he sent. And so 300,000 men came from Israel and 30,000 from Judah. And then Samuel said to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. This is after this great victory that was in 1 Samuel 11:4. So the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they also offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. You know, Saul was off to such a great start, wasn't he? He got this amazing prophetic word of great destiny. But, you know, as with always, those personal prophecies are conditional on what we do also. And so we can walk in the way to have that fulfilled, or we can become disobedient and willful and prideful. And I just pray that never happens to any of us. And we have to just stay close to the Lord and listen to him. And when he says to do something, we need to do it. And so because the people wanted a king rather than God, that was dumb. Well, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 12:2. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. Although the Lord your God was your king. Now, therefore, here's the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. Right. There's the condition, like, have reverence for him. Listen to him. Obey him. Don't rebel against his commands. And so there's the condition. And it says, if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. 1 Samuel 12:17. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And so the people were like, oh, Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us so that we don't die. We've added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. And so then Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord your God, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you will go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they're futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. And so, as always, people can be instructed in the right way, but if they don't follow the right way, then they're not going to experience the right way. And so remember when Samuel told Saul to wait for him. So we're going to go down. Oh, I wanted to say this one scripture too, which is 1 Samuel 12:25. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. So remember when Samuel talked to Saul way at the beginning when I started? In 1 Samuel 10:8, he says, then you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what to do. So the Philistines came against Israel, and they were hiding everywhere and anywhere they could, in caves and cellars and pits. And so Saul was getting a bit nervous waiting for Samuel. And it says in 1 Samuel 13:8, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. He did come that day, by the way. He just didn't come at the beginning of the day. He came more towards the end of the day. And so Saul said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And only the priest was allowed to do that. The king was not allowed to do that. That was in the constitution of their rules. And so because Saul was a people pleaser and the people were leaving him, he just couldn't handle that. He was an attention seeker. And so he needed those people to be around him. He liked that, all that attention too. He just had that great battle. And so as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. Saul didn't have authority to offer the burnt offering. The prophet, the priest, and the king all had different roles in the Israelite constitution. The king, the prophet, and the priest are in their distinct places, and they did distinct things. And like I said, he was a people pleaser, and he didn't want the people to quit following him. But Samuel says to him, what have you done? He says this in 1 Samuel 13:11. And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed time, the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord. So I, listen to what he says, I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. Well, we know that's true. He didn't force himself. He chose to do it. Samuel said to Saul, and here's the scripture that I used before, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. So see, he needed to obey what the Lord told him. Obedience is a big deal. And Jesus said that too in the book of John. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So in 1 Samuel 13:14, it says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you. And so I'm just going to stop a minute, and I'm going to play a song for us. Misty Edwards sings this. She sings both songs, I believe, today. Yes, and her team, of course, is on one of them. And we're going to play Be Careful How You Listen. We can't do the whole thing because it's a pretty long one. It's beautiful, though. All her songs are beautiful. So anyway, this it applies to this whole situation.
Be careful how you hear. careful how you listen.
Careful how we hear, don't we? We have to have ears to hear. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, again, in 1 Samuel 15, he is told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And this actually was a prophecy that went back to Exodus 17, verses 14 through 16. The Lord said he would bring this kind of judgment against Amalek. So the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it. In the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And then he says, what was the reason for it? Well, in Deuteronomy 25:17, it says, remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore it, now this is Deuteronomy 25:19, therefore it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies, in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You must not forget. Now, I want you to just think about it. It doesn't have to do with King Saul and what his disobedience. But think about when he prophesied about Jezebel, because she was the most wicked woman, and so she had the prophets of the Lord killed. She had Naboth killed in his own. She killed a man for his property and then gave it to her husband, who was pouting over it. So in 1 Kings 29:19, she says, "You shall," or he says, "You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours. Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you and utterly sweep you away and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free in Israel, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam.
Listen, be careful to receive the way of the Lord like hidden treasure, more than gold and more than
asking that, but that was beautiful. It does that every once in a while. It's just, maybe the Lord just wanted us to hear that one, that part of it, because the word is a treasure, isn't it? And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, and because you have made Israel sin. Of Jezebel also, the Lord spoke, saying, the dogs will eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And the one who dies in the field, the birds of heaven will eat. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him. He acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel. When Jehu came to Jezreel, because Jehu was anointed to do certain things, Elijah sent out the sons of the prophets, which were prophets in training. And one of the prophets in training, one of their assignments was to go and to anoint Jehu. And so later on in the chapter, in 2 Kings 9:30, it says this, the prophecy came to pass. When Jehovah came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer? Then he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And two or three officials looked down at him. He said, throw her down. So he threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. When he came in, he ate and drank, and he said, see now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she's a king's daughter. They went to bury her, but they found nothing more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they returned and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, in the property of Jezreel the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel will be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel. So they cannot say, this is Jezebel. Okay, so I just want to tell you that when the Lord prophesies something, it comes to pass, because God rewards evil for evil. He rewards evil. I mean, not rewards evil. That's not a good way to say it. Those who do evil, the wages of sin is death. And there are consequences to evil. Let me put it that way. Those who do evil will have consequences, no matter what it is. You know, think about what it says. God is not mocked. Those, whatever you reap, that's what you're going to sow. And so she sowed evil, and she reaped the consequences of it. She reaped the judgment of God. Okay, so back to Saul. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil. Well, he was told not to take any of the spoil. And so he decided, and he was not to bring any person back. And so he did not obey the Lord. He brought back the choice things to sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord didn't tell him to do that. He said, destroy everything. Because it was cursed. They were cursed people. And Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. The interesting thing is even though he rejected him as king, it took a while for all the things that were spoken. You know, when God speaks something, his prophetic time clock is definitely not like ours, because we think if something is now, that it's right this second, and that isn't the way it is with God's prophetic calendar. So he says, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. You know, the interesting thing is he needed to ask the Lord to pardon his sin. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, reluctantly, of course. And here is Samuel, who had anointed Saul as king, and now he has to come and he has to discipline him. And the sad thing is the Spirit of the Lord left Saul because he rejected the Lord. He was willful. He was prideful. He was an attention seeker. And he didn't really, you know, like Missy Edwards' song says, he didn't really pledge his allegiance to the King of Kings, the God of Heaven. He didn't really pledge his allegiance to him, to God. It was more about what he wanted to do. And so Samuel was completely grieved over Saul. And so the Lord said, Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over him? I have rejected him as king. Now comes the time where God picks the king he wants. And the interesting thing is that even though David was anointed that day as king, his process took many, many, many years. And Saul chased him around for many years to try to kill him. Of course, we're going to get to all that stuff. We won't get to it today, but next week we're going to talk about the progression of Saul and how his emotions started to be jealous and then angry, and then it went into many other things. And so we're going to not be able to get to that today. So this is more setting up kind of why did King Saul not fulfill his destiny that really God called him to that destiny, but it was conditional on him obeying the Lord and what the Lord wanted him to do. And so we know that David wasn't perfect, but it was that he was after God's heart and he was repentant and he loved the Lord. Where really Saul was more about Saul. And so Samuel goes and he, in 1 Samuel 16, and Samuel says to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. There's more to it than this, but I can't do every chapter or I'd be probably on the radio all day long. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And of course, we know that Saul saw his oldest, Jesse's oldest son. He was a big, tough-looking, handsome dude. And so Samuel was thinking, wow, this has to be the guy. And the Lord was like, you look at the exterior, but I look at the heart. And so he sent and he got David, and he brought him in. And he's ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. That's 1 Samuel 16:12. And did you notice, though, in both of these, King Saul had no clue he was going to be a king, and neither did David. So just keep that in mind, that not always does every person know what their prophetic destiny is. And also that they have to choose to continue on in that destiny and follow the Lord. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, I just want you to notice this, because the Spirit of the Lord comes on David, but the Spirit of the Lord leaves Saul. And that is in 1 Samuel 16:14. Now, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. So his servants say to him, hey, king, listen, guy, there's a skillful player on the harp. He's anointed from the Lord, and that thing will leave you. And so they go, and who do they go get? They go get David the shepherd boy. And so then David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Well, this is where I want to kind of end off this week, because we're going to start where that young guy, David, called by God, the man after God's own heart, is going to go up against Goliath. And it is quite humorous, really, because David did not have one stitch of fear in him. His confidence was completely in the Lord. And so we're going to stop here so I can play a little of the song I have, and I'll see you next week, and we'll get more into this. And you're going to start to see the progression of how Saul really had his downfall. And so thank you for joining me. Have an awesome Friday, and I will see you next week. And you can also download this or listen to it at your convenience. And the song that I am going to leave you with is Missy Edwards, of course, and this one is called Pledge. And it's such a beautiful song. Please enjoy it.
He's called.